الحمد لله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيدا يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ذو العزة والقدرة والهيبة والجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عبده ورسوله صفيه وخليله وحبيبه ومصطفاه بلغ عن الله رسالاته ونصح له في برياته فجزاه الله خير ما جزى نبيا عن أمته اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وأعز جنده وهزم الأحزاب وحده لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر ولله الحمد It is by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have reached the day of Eid al-Adha, which is a very big day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by this day in the Quran where he says, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ The odd and the even, by the odd and by the even. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained this in saying a hadith, The 10 nights are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the odd mentioned is the day of Arafah. And the even mentioned is the day of Eid al-Adha. It is therefore a very big day. And Muslims are allowed to celebrate in this day and show happiness so long as they don't cross the limits of the Sharia. Many of those who give lectures and khutbas in this big day, they talk about the masail of the sacrifice, the qurbani. They talk about the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wa ala nabiyyina salatu wassalam. But today, I will talk about something that's a bit different from all that. We will address, inshallah ta'ala, the farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he gave to humanity on the day of Arafah. There are many lessons in that big sermon, and we will try and talk about those lessons, inshallah ta'ala. After the accomplishment of the call, the proclamation of the message, and the establishment of a new society on the basis of Tawheed, and on the prophetic mission, a secret call approached in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him that his stay in this world was about to terminate. He even predicted his death that was coming soon to some of his companions. On one occasion, he told Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu an, whom he had dispatched to Yemen in the 10th year of Hijrah, "O Mu'adh, you may not see me after this current year. You may even pass by this masjid of mine and my tomb." Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu ardah cried bitterly for the fear of parting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's care was so bounteous as to allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam see the fruits of his call, for which he had undergone untold sufferings for a period of over 20 years. The tribes and their representatives flooded the city of Medina in order to accept Islam. It is after this that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam announced the intention to proceed with the farewell pilgrimage, Hajjatul Wada'a. Many people came to the city of Medina in order to seek the guidance and the imamate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the farewell pilgrimage. On a Saturday of the last 4 days of Dhul Qa'dah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left the city of Medina for Hajj. On the day of Arafah, he gave a very big and historical sermon to about 124,000 or 144,000. The ulama, the historians, have differed in the number. He gave that khutbah to about 144,000 who were all his true followers. Remember the day he started preaching in Mecca, no one was by his side. Insults, abuses, and mockery was all that he heard from the Quraysh. They tortured and killed his followers mercilessly. They even carried out a siege against him and his people, and in that he lost his dear wife and uncle. When he went to the city of Taif, they received him with sarcasm and saw him off with stones. In Medina, they waged several battles against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spread propaganda. They even questioned the chastity of his wife Aisha radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. Whenever he gave bashara that Islam will one day reach Sham, which was under the Roman Empire, and Persia, which was under the Persian Empire, they would laugh at him and say about him and his companions, "Gharra ha'ula'i dinihum." These ones have surely been deceived by their faith. That is the remark they could make. But after a few years, he proved all of them wrong, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. The city of Mecca, which they had chased him from several years ago, was under his rule. And the same people who fought him and abused him, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, were under his rule, hoping for his mercy and pardon, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. He had a very big heart, and it was not difficult for him to set all of them free. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them forgiveness as if nothing happened between him and them, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. On that day of Arafah, therefore, 144,000 people gathered around him, mostly of whom accepted Islam out of love and admiration for its noble principles and teachings, contrary to the well-known cheap remark of the haters of Islam that Islam was spread by the sword. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day, therefore, gave heartfelt pieces of advice. If you knew that you were going to die soon, and you were asked to give advice to those whom you will leave behind, consisting of your friends, family, and children, what kind of advice could you give? Definitely a very important advice. You could not leave out anything which could be of use to them after you have gone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day gave a sermon which was important not only to Muslims but also to the mankind in general. After praising and thanking Allah, he said, Salawatu Rabbi wa Salamu alayhi, O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I know not whether after this year I will ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen to what I am going to say to you carefully and carry those words to those who could not be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Return the things entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord, and he will indeed reckon your deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you to take usury, and all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. Allah has judged that there shall be no usury, and all usury due to Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib shall henceforth be waived. Beware of Satan for the sake of your religion. He has lost hope to lead you astray in big things, so beware of following him in small things. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have certain rights upon you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah's trust and with his permission. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. And it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone as whom you do not approve, as well as never to be unchaste. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship your Lord. Perform the 5 daily prayers. Fast the month of Ramadan. Give your wealth in zakat. And perform hajj if you can afford to. All mankind is from Adam. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. White has no superiority over black, nor does black has any superiority over white, except by piety and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it has been given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Remember that you will one day appear before your Lord and answer your deeds. Remember that one day you will appear before your Lord and answer your deeds. So be aware, do not stray from the right, from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, O people, therefore, and understand words which I convey to you. I have left behind me 2 things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah. I have left behind me 2 things, the Quran and the Sunnah, my example. If you follow them, you will never go astray. All those who listen to my word shall carry those words to others and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. O Allah, bear witness. O Allah, bear witness that I have conveyed your message to your people. That was the sermon which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave on that day of Arafah. One can heed words of wisdom and guidelines from the final sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final sermon was not meant only for Muslims, but for the mankind in general. This final sermon confirmed the end of the prophetic mission. And thus, after this sermon, at the summit of Arafat, Allah revealed on the Prophet salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Today I have perfected your faith for you, accomplished my favor upon you, and has chosen Islam as your religion for you. The death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was near, and that was the end of the prophet, and that could be the end of the prophetic mission, and it was. He clearly said that no apostle or prophet will come after me, and no one came after him, and anyone will never come as a prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed a number of subjects in his final sermon. The first thing which he talked about, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, is the sanctity and sacredness of life. Islam has given an infinite value to human life, and that is well explained in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس. And it is on that we ordained on the children of Israel that if anyone slays a person unless for murder and spreading mischief in the earth, then it is as if he has killed the whole of mankind. And if anyone saved one life, then it is as if he saved the whole of mankind. There is no better example for the protection of life than this verse that is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. It explains clearly that killing one person is equal to destroying a whole community. And by the same token, saving one person is like saving the whole community. Innocent lives are sacred. Innocent lives are not mere statistics. If you kill one person, it is as if you have killed the whole of humanity. This one should be crystal clear, especially in our modern day, where innocent civilians are killed in the name of defending Islam. Islam is not a religion which encourages bloodshed. It is the religion of peace. It has respect for human life. Anyone who thinks that Islam will gain victory by the killing of innocent civilians, then he should get it clear that his belief and ideology has no place in Islam at all. In fact, he is just misinterpreting Islam, and that which he calls jihad may be his reason for going to Jahannam wal'iyadu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, and take not life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred, except by justice and by way of justice and law. Thus he commands you so that you may learn wisdom. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, in respect of the sanctity of life, Muslims and non-Muslims are equal. Attack on the personal safety of non-Muslims invokes punishment in this world and in the hereafter. The scholars of Islam have underscored five main objectives of this religion, which should be promoted and protected. Those five objectives are religion, life, progeny or family, mind or intellect, and property. Note keenly that the protection of life comes immediately after the protection of religion. This one tells you that the very idea of protecting human life is contained in the religion, and it is only those ones who are led astray that will not have any respect for life. Some modern laws today legalized the taking of human life through euthanasia. They call it as mass killing. The view of Islam on that is very clear. There is no mass killing in Islam. Justification for taking life so as to escape suffering is not allowed in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ says, a man from the older times had an infliction which taxed his patience. So he took a knife, cut his wrist, and bled to death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave has hastened his death. I deny him paradise. Islam encourages patience and perseverance during pain, during illness. And the killing and the taking of human life for the sake of painful, hopeless illness is refuted totally in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who patiently persevere will have their rewards without measure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whenever a believer is afflicted with pain, even that of a prick of a thorn or more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sins. All his wrongdoings are discarded, just like a tree sheds its leaves. The first message, therefore, in the final sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sanctity and sacredness of life. The second message is the rights of women. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fail to mention the rights of women even in his last words to humanity. The issue of women is a topic of great misunderstanding and distortion. Due to the lack of proper understanding of Islam, or due to the behavior of some Muslims which are interpreted as the teachings of Islam. Before Islam, women were treated just like property and slaves. They were not even regarded as a party to the marriage contract. They could not own property and were not allowed to inherit. In the pre-Islamic Arab society, the killing of female children was uncontrolled. The story of the birth of a daughter in a family was not an occasion for rejoicing, but was regarded with humiliation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And when the news of a birth of a female child comes to any one of them, his face becomes dark. He is filled with inward grief. He hides from the people because of the evil whereof he was told. Shall he bury her in the earth, or shall he retain her with humiliation? Verily, evil is their decision. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Outside Arabia, the conditions were not better for women. The practice of sati existed in India before it was abolished. In the old Greek civilization, women were bought and sold just like commodity. The Spartan women were allowed to practice polyandry, which was an abominable custom. In Egypt, women were regarded as a sort of subspecies between humans and animals. They were not regarded as humans, but something between humans and animals. There were beliefs that even women have no soul, and they are the cause of every evil and sin. Islam came and gave new life to women. Justice for them prevailed after many years of injustice and oppression. It was a new morning for women after a very long, dark night. Women have done a lot of things for Islam. It is a woman who stood by the Prophet salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi right from the time the revelation came to him. When he came back to his home from the cave of Hira, Khadija radiyallahu anha wa ardaha calmed the Prophet down salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi and took him to her cousin Waraqat ibn Nawfal, who explained to him whatever he went through and that what was waiting for him in the future. Women were among those who protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ummu Amara was fighting fiercely in the battle of Uhud to protect the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the 6th year of Hijrah, when the Quraysh turned down the request of Rasulullah SAW and his companion to enter Makkah so as to perform Hajj, for they did not come for war, the Rasulullah SAW ordered the companions to shave and slaughter their sacrifices because they could not enter Makkah for Hajj. They would go back to Medina. The companions were very sorrowful. They delayed to execute the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is again a woman who solved the issue with her suggestion, Umm Salama radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. She asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam to start the shave, and upon seeing him shave, all companions could shave. And that's how it was solved. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the rights of women in that final sermon. Islam has given high status to the woman. If she is a daughter, utmost care and upbringing is prescribed for her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever has two daughters does not bury them and does not insult them and brings them up well, I and him will be like this in paradise. That is, they will be neighbors in paradise. Whenever his daughter came to him, Fatima radiallahu anha, he stood up, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, to receive her in front of everybody. He kissed her and he would make her sit in his favorite place where he was sitting, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. As a mother, extra obedience is prescribed for her. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, the paradise is at the feet of your mothers. And on one occasion, a companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, who among mankind deserves most my kind and love? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, your mother. He said, who next? Your mother. Who next? Your mother. And on the third time, he said, and your father, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. As a wife, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to be very kind and treat our wives very well. He says, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, the most complete, the one who has complete iman among the believers is the one who has the best character. And the best among you is the best to his women folk. That is the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the rights of women in that final sermon. He also talked about brotherhood in Islam, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, and that all Muslims are equal. No one has superiority over another. The only thing which will determine your superiority is your piety and good action. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The one who is honored most in the eyes of Allah, in front of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, is the one who has piety and does good deeds. All Muslims are brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in that sermon, learn that every Muslim is a brother to a fellow Muslim, and all Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Without doubt, believers are brothers to one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, al-muslimu akhul muslim. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. If we maintain that brotherhood, then we will get unity, and that one will be of use to the Muslim Ummah, which is in very bad conditions today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give his mercy and victory to this Ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore talked about brotherhood in Islam on that big day, so that his people, after he has gone, they do not hate each other. They do not abandon each other. They do not fight each other. There should be no grudge for you in your heart against another Muslim. Even if he does something wrong to you, then you should forgive him because he is your brother. Brotherhood in Islam is sometimes more heavy than even brotherhood which comes due to relation and blood. And that is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the city of Medina, among the first things he did, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, is to create brotherhood between the Ansar and the Muhajirun, who were his companions, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. The lessons in that final message, therefore, in that final sermon, that farewell speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are so many, and those are some of the most important lessons contained in that final sermon. It is therefore our duty as Muslims to implement that sermon which Rasulullah gave on that big day of Arafah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be good Muslims and maintain all that which is good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He be pleased with us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end this year of us, the year 1436 Hijri, with good and forgiveness, inshallah ta'ala. And with that, I conclude my lecture. Whatever I have said right is not because of my knowledge and effort, but by the will and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever wrong I have said is from myself and shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger are free from that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, and then I apologize to all of you. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَىٰ مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ إِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ أحب الصالحين ولست منهم لعلي أن أنال بهم شفاعة وأكره من تجارته المعاصي ولو كنا سواء في البضاعة. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولوالد والدينا ولجميع من له حق علينا يا رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله على محمد وصحبه وآله، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وجزاكم الله خيرا.